Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
There are moments in every fan's life they'll never forget. In my experience, a lot of them are positive. They're lovely. You appreciate them. But most of them are awful. They're gut-wrenching. They make you furious. They make you question why, as an adult, you still have so much wrapped up in this stupid team. For example, Ray Allen driving down the lane in the 08 finals and making that layup over Sasha Vujacic in game 4. Horseshit. Rob, censor all of that. Nobody needs to hear swearing this early. Rocket Ismail's punt return touchdown that got called back during the 1991 National Championship in the Orange Bowl. They called a clip. Give me a break. Manny Pacquiao walking into that Marquez knockout. Listen, I could go on and on. But all these devastating moments have two things in common. They're all very specific and they're all deeply personal. And the moment when Ben Simmons wheels around during the 2021 playoffs against the Atlanta Hawks, and it looks like he's about to have a super wide open dunk, but he passes the ball instead, that moment is no different. It's very specific, and it's deeply personal, and it's right here on First Ballot. Welcome to First Ballot, the podcast that celebrates the moments in sports that really matter and inducts them into the First Ballot Hall of Fame. Someone said this is the best throwback sports podcast on the internet. Who said it? I said it. I'm your host, Neil, a.k.a. Gotham Coach, a.k.a. the Glass City Cobra, Mr. Skybox, the Reebok Pump God, the podcast Jordan Clarkson, half Filipino, half not Filipino. I'm not the biggest Lakers fan. I am the best Lakers fan. Mr. Not Always Right, but never, ever wrong. Coming to you live from the Shaquille O'Neal Office Depot, big and tall executive suite desk chair. The First Ballot Hall of Fame podcast is brought to you by Ball is Life and the Ball is Life Podcast Network. Shout out to Ball is Life. We just did a broken backboard debate and vote online. One lucky listener got a brand new hoodie and Ball is Life shorts. I've got some Ball is Life stuff. I actually like it. I work out it and it's nice stuff. Go check it all out at ballslife.com. And of course, follow at ballslife on all social platforms. Ben Simmons' passing up of a wide open dunk during game 7 of the 2021 Eastern Conference semifinals is a wild sports moment. But is it a First Ballot Hall of Famer? We have to decide that today. And here to do it with me is a proud Philadelphian. He's also, more importantly, an incredibly funny comedian. You might have seen his work on HBO, Comedy Central, or Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Network. He's also the host of the We Want More, M-O-O-R-E, More podcast. It's the hilarious, the up-and-coming Anthony Moore. Anthony, thank you for joining us.
No, thank you for having me, man. I can't wait to talk about this. I can't wait to get my Ben Simmons slander off.
You picked this moment. It's the rare situation where you pick this moment, and I sort of look at the moment ostensibly and go, oh, yeah, no, I remember that. And, yeah, it's weird, but I feel like you have a lot to say about it. I can't hear what you have to say. Before we dive into it, though, table set for us. Everyone needs to learn more about you, and they'll do that by you answering these questions. What is your favorite sport, your favorite team, and your favorite athlete of all time? Favorite sport, team, and athlete.
Favorite sport, definitely basketball, by far basketball. Especially being like a diehard Philly native, like I wouldn't mind if the Phillies won the World Series or, you know, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, but I'll give anything for a Sixers championship.
Got it.
By far. Favorite team, definitely the Sixers. I had a wave where I did leave the Sixers for a few years.
Wait, where did you go?
I was in Cleveland. Yeah, okay, I was in Cleveland. Yeah, and And favorite athlete all time? Ooh, it got to be Iverson.
Got to be Iverson.
But I will say Embiid is definitely making a tough, like, he's definitely making a tough case for best sixer.
So hold on, let me ask you then. This, the Embiid 70-point game, did you care? Do you care about that?
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
What, yeah. Now, here's the question. Why don't I care about it? Why don't I give a shit about that game? I've not even seen the highlights, Anthony.
I think because who it was against.
Wait, I don't even know who they played. Who did they play?
They played the Spurs.
Okay. They but that's interesting. I would think that would make me care more because it's on Wemby. But he had 70. Yeah. I've not even seen the highlights because there was a 73 after it. And then did you care about Donovan Mitchell's 70-point game?
Nah.
Did you care about Devin Booker's 70-point game?
Oh, no, especially no. No.
But why? Why not those?
I didn't care about Booker's. I didn't care about Booker's. Booker's came in a loss.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of free throws at the end.
Yeah. That's true.
Mitchell's definitely was impressive. I think his might have been an overtime, though.
It was. I think it was. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So with Embiid and Luka, those I take those as to be like the true 70s because those happen in regulation.
It's really interesting to me because I certainly cared about Kobe's 81,
mm-hmm.
and if it were LeBron scoring 70, I'd almost certainly be like it matters. I don't know why I don't care about literally all of the other 70 and 60 point games. Maybe I'm just an asshole Lakers guy. I don't want that to be the answer. It could be the answer. All I can say is I really can't imagine caring about the 70 point game. I wonder what would have to happen in the highlights for me to be like, holy shit, that Joel Embiid moment's gonna make it into the first ballot Hall of Fame. I don't know if I can see it.
I think it's because partly Wemby's built. Like, where it look like I could back, I mean, he's 7'5", but he's like, 7'5"? He's built like me. He's probably like 7'5", 160. Like he has the wildest proportions I've ever seen. So I think, like, if he had like a good 80 more pounds on him, then it might be impressive. So I think that has to do with it.
Yeah, he really is like Embiid scoring 70 on a kid. He's like a child, right?
Right.
Not that impressive once you remember that he's kind of almost like a teenager.
Yeah. And he's built like a churro. So it's like, we gotta put some weight on. Wemby gotta hit that weight room down there.
Just the way you said churro makes me laugh. I don't know what it is, but like seeing your clips online and listening to the We Want More podcast. The sound of your voice is funny to me, and that sounds like an insult, but like the way you say things, it's like an accent. It doesn't sound like a Philly accent to me, but there are just certain things that you say that really make me laugh. You guys on the We Want More podcast, what's your co-host name?
Asante
he's
Morris.
He's so funny. Yeah, he's too. Also you guys from, are so good together.
And I love him because I think with me, so I've been doing comedy a few more years longer than him.
Yeah.
So he's still in that early, like, grinding stages, like, where he's, especially, like, we have an age difference. I'm 6 years older than him. So it's like, he's still at that point where he's still, like, figuring out who he is, not just as a comic, but just growing into himself as a man.
Yeah.
But he has nothing to lose. He's not worried about protecting any relationships or, like, anything corporate. He's just letting loose.
Yeah.
Where even me sometimes, I'm like, whoa. I don't think we can let that out.
We can take this down if we need to. But did you take down all the elbowfat.com clips?
Oh, no.
Is that still up there?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that moment was so funny. There's another story that happened, very sad story. I'm not going to make fun of this. I'll let the We Want More podcast do it. The guy, if you saw it online, he was being convicted in a court, ends up jumping over the judge's stand and attacks the judge. Very sad, shouldn't have been able to do it. I'm not going to laugh at it. I don't think it's funny. But this is what they had to say on the We Want More podcast. Let's listen to it together.
These judges got to understand, you can't play with a man life like that and think he not going
to
leap.
And it's just sad to see, like, him jumping like this. I hate to see talent go to waste.
That wasn't a white woman. It was just a pole vault with some sand. I see why Chinese people put glass on the restaurants. give me the wrong change, I might jump over that fucking counter and leave with some egg rolls.
That's exactly why they put up that bulletproof glass.
I see why they scared of niggas. Yeah, that's the thing about racism. They see the potential in us that we don't see in ourselves. They see the strength that we have, and we don't even know we have it. We was kings. They know that.
You see the way he cleared that counter? If he was on the street, you know how many free peanut chews he would have? This nigga would have left with the whole store in his pocket.
If he would have used that talent to hop a fence, he wouldn't have got arrested in the first place.
Oh my God. That's not, none of that is funny. Right. I can't stand behind any of that. That's not my show. That's theirs. No, you guys are so funny. If you ever need someone to just sit and listen to you guys record it and laugh and react, yeah. Please let me be in your peanut gallery. You guys are so funny. Oh my God.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for being here. Let's dive into our moment to decide whether Ben Simmons passing up this dunk in Game 7 of the 2021 Eastern Conference Semis against the Atlanta Hawks. To decide whether that goes into our first ballot Hall of Fame, we have to go through our Hall of Fame credentials. Those are the categories by which we judge our moment. The first one I'm going to start out with is the eye test today. We're going to talk about what we see in this place. I'm going to cede control here to Anthony Moore. Anthony, why did you pick this moment? Okay. And what, when you rewatch this play, when you think about this play, what did you see that especially makes you angry?
Okay, so what made me pick this moment, it was a lot. It was, I think for me, it was a buildup of Ben Simmons hate over the years. And just never was a true fan of his. Didn't believe it. Didn't believe in the process. So with basketball being my favorite sport, I've been having my heart broke a lot. The Sixers have broken, like, and I don't know. I guess it's my own inner insanity. I think I might need to be 302 to checked out because every year they just pull me back in. So with the process, I remember telling my friends over and over, the process will never work. We need to trade Ben Simmons.
Right.
And that was the defining moment of, oh, he's out the door.
Yes, right.
So yeah, as much as I did want us to win the series, right, I would have loved to win the championship that year. And even like, because I feel like Embiid, he matches up perfectly with Giannis. I feel like we would have been able to get over that hurdle. But the passiveness of that, I think that was definitely the defining moment of this will never work.
Did any part of you as a fan feel vindicated? Because I've gone through your Twitter history. I've seen how long you have been. I don't want to say anti-Ben Simmons, but how long you've been up with the Ben Simmons slander. Does any part of you as a fan or as a basketball person feel vindicated that I knew this wasn't going to work out and this is my proof, this singular play is my proof?
I feel really vindicated. I actually, do you mind if I pull up a tweet of mine
course,
for a second?
Please.
Let me see if I could find this really fast. Cause I remember when Ben Simmons got drafted, and I hated it. What did I? I tweeted this the day Ben Simmons got drafted. I said Ben Simmons is about to get drafted, and it's gonna be an older LSU. And I remember this because, I mean, I'm sure, do you follow college basketball?
Yes, yeah. Well, I certainly followed that year because the Lakers had a high draft pick as well.
Yeah, but you know, just like with college basketball, the difference between like a regular college Division I player and a pro, that difference is so vast.
Totally.
It's amazing how like the difference is. So with that LSU team, they didn't even make the tournament that year.
That's right.
Like, I remember watching him because of how highly they were speaking of him. They were comparing him to a LeBron and Magic. And I'm watching it. I'm like, he's not doing, like, it looked like he gave up on his team then.
That's right.
It's even a documentary where it's like, it shows him kind of giving up on his team. Like, he just was disinterested the whole time.
Yep.
And, you know, I was, when we got him, I was rooting for him. I was rooting for him. The numbers looked good rookie year. But then the second year, I was like, oh, this is the same exact player.
Yeah.
It's no growth.
Yeah.
Then the front office, they was coddling him, telling him he didn't need to shoot. It was never going to work the way he was being babied.
When Kentucky had John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, like whatever that crazy Kentucky team was. And they had like six dudes or something that made the NBA. And they didn't even get to the Final Four, I don't think. And I was like, oh, man, hold on. That's a red flag for me to have that many NBA guys and to not just immediately make the finals or the, at least the Final Four is a huge red flag to me, because I'm also old enough to remember Danny Manning as a kid just walking. He was the only dude on Kansas and they walked to a title because Danny Manning was that dominant in college as a, you know, whatever, fourth year college senior. So Ben Simmons, you know, fulfills the Anthony Moore prophecy by passing up this dunk. As you watch the play, as he spins off Gallinari, and is there any part of your brain that goes, he made the right play?
Oh, no. Immediately, I was just like, what are you doing? Immediately. Like, I wish I could have jumped for him. But I was even more vindicated because I'm telling you, like, this has been building up, and I'm so glad I have this platform to get it off. The round before, we played the Knicks.
Yeah.
We played the Knicks, and I just kept and I remember saying, like, yo, it's no way where I was like, I think we beat the Knicks, and I was like, yeah, we got by the Knicks because they were still in like building mode. This is pre Jalen Brunson and all the other trades. And I was like, we got by the Knicks because the Knicks aren't together, but there's no way we're beating Atlanta with Ben being this passive.
Yeah.
We didn't stand a chance. Ugh. And the four quarters, because he was that passive. That pass happened game five. So he was that passive the first four games. It was just like, you know, playoff basketball, you might be able to get off game one or game two. You might have a great game or a bad game. But then by game three, you kind of figured this player, because it's like, this is the same person you played nights in a row.
Yep.
So it was like by game five, it was just like, oh, this is just him. And the just not even had that confidence to just Trey. He's probably like 5'11 with sneakers on.
Yes.
I mean, we just saw Luka just gave him 73.
That's right.
Like, this isn't, I could see if this was like at least a Patrick Beverly, somebody like because Patrick Beverly.
Even just somebody that you think might even take a hard foul. Like, there's no danger of Trey Young blocking your shot. There's no danger of him taking you down.
Yeah, because Trey, he gives that like that energy on defense. Like, he doesn't want to dirty himself.
He has to
keep his jersey clean. Whereas like, at least if it was like somebody like a Pat Bev, you know, I always say this, Pat Bev, he gives the energy of the kid that puts his mouth on a water fountain. like where everybody else, they backing away, and it's like, whoa, why are you that close? Yeah, that's the type of energy he gives to me. So
that's one of America's great sentences right there. Pat Beverly has the energy of a guy that puts his mouth on the water fountain.
Yeah, but
oh my god, we should end it right here. We should end this episode and vote right here. That's so funny. It is because I remember the play. I couldn't remember exactly what happened until I started rewatching it for research purposes for this episode. And you watch, he spins off Danilo Gallinari and wheels in front of Trey Young. Right. And the only other guy even in the remote vicinity is John Collins. None of those dudes are defenders. None of those guys block shots. None of those guys really try hard on defense. Like, there is no world where you shouldn't wheel, assess things, and just jump and dunk the ball. It really is true.
Like, it was the perfect spinoff, like, just to let him to the rim. To give it to Matisse Thybulle. And I love Matisse. Like, this is the thing about Philly sports. We don't care. It's not whether you're good or not with us.
Yeah.
It's just like, we're the type of city, we just want effort.
Yes.
Like growing up, I remember growing up watching the Eagles teams when I was younger. And you would have thought, the way Philly showed love to Freddie Mitchell, you would have thought he was Jerry Rice.
That's right. That's so funny. That's a great comparison. You're exact. Philly loves Freddie Mitchell. You're exactly right.
All off of just one catch. But didn't have any accolades. I'm not even sure. I don't even think he made a Pro Bowl. Anything. That's but so it was just funny. He gave us effort, and that's right. All we wanted with Ben. We don't even care if you make the threes or make the layups. It's just the attempt.
Yeah, be fearless, be brave. Yeah. So hold on, let's flip to the dark side here. Are there moments where Philly fans have gone too far?
Is there moments with him or just
with
in
anybody? Yeah, in general. Is Philly a tough place to play? It seems like it is.
No. I think Philly is the
I don't think anyone agrees with you.
We might be. we might be.
I feel when I think about Los Angeles, as I am not the biggest Lakers fan, I'm the best Lakers fan. When I think about playing in Los Angeles, I go, you are part of this 24-hour entertainment capital where if you stink or if you don't rise to the occasion, whatever the case might be, they will pick you up and make you a story. They'll make you a narrative in this ongoing 24-hour news cycle. That's like Los Angeles. When I think about the places, the toughest places to play, because if you stink, the fans will be all fucking over you. It's New York and Philly. Those to me are the two places that go head up in that category. Yeah.
No, I could agree with that. I was about to try to sugarcoat it for us, but no. we might be terrible people.
Let's move on. The next credential is the analytics. Here are some numbers behind this moment. The numbers are honestly kind of breathtaking. This is game 7. Of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Did you guys, so you said previously you thought that the Philly would figure out a way to lose this series.
I know for sure we didn't stand a chance.
Atlanta won game 1, Philly won game 2, then Philly took game 3, have a 2-1 lead. Atlanta wins 4, then 5. Big swing there to tie it at 2-2 and then take the lead 3-2. Philly wins game 6, and this is game 7 in Philadelphia. The stats for Ben are not great. He played 35 minutes. He was 2 of 4 from the field, 1 of 2 from the free throw line. Of course, he took no 3-pointers. Yeah. He did have 8 total rebounds. That's pretty good. And 13 assists. That's fantastic. Only 2 turnovers. Very good. 5 points total. He was +1 in the plus minus. The issue is in the series, and I did not know this. This is maybe the most breathtaking stat I've read on this podcast. Over this 7-game series, Ben Simmons, who was, let me look here, 3rd in minutes played behind Embiid and Tobias Harris. 3rd in minutes, he goes to the line 45 times and made 15 free throws. Wow. That is breathtaking. 33% from the free throw line over a 7-game series.
That's insane. I did not realize. Like, I can't believe that. I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad.
Game
4. And
then 4,
I think we lost game 5. I believe at one point we were up like 20.
Yes. You were up big. I don't remember how big you were up. But game 4, he goes 1 of 5 from the free throw line. So clearly, like, that's bad. Mm. But game 5, he goes 4 of 14 from the free throw line. That's 28% in a 3-point loss to the Hawks. Game 5, series is tied. He misses 10 free throws, and the Sixers lose by only 3 points. It's clear that seeped into his performance throughout the rest of the series. Again, it's sad to think about, but if there's a mental side of this game and you have such a poor performance from the line in game 4 and 5, I can see it bleed into game 6 and 7, and then you get into this moment and instead of dunking and risking an and one, you dump it off to Matisse Thybulle. Like, all of a sudden I'm starting to see the bigger picture here.
But it's just crazy that, like, I don't, like, you play your whole life for this. Yes. You've been practicing. Oof. But there's also, I think something is going on mentally, because I think he's shooting with the wrong hand. Have you heard that rumor?
I think
he's actually right-handed.
Naturally right-handed. And for some reason, his dad taught him to shoot with his left for some reason.
Yeah.
Crazy. I know. I heard that once and thought maybe it was for like social media engagement. But then when you watch him shoot.
Yeah, when you look at the motion.
Yes. When you see his form like coming across the lane, he shoots like a right-handed runner or something. You go, that looks fantastic. And whenever he shoots with his left hand, it looks awkward. It is fascinating to think about. Here's another stat for you to consider, Anthony. Games 4-7, Ben Simmons did not attempt one field goal.
He was just out there getting cardio. This is the first player that I've seen, like, his dream was to make it to the league just to show off his outfits. Like, it is the craziest thing. Like, I remember it's this one photo where Ben is just on a bench where, you know, the Nets, their colors is black and white. So it's low-key.
Yeah.
And it's like he's trying to, like, not be seen, but just has on this bright blue and orange, like, jumpsuit with shades on, all the jewelry. It's like... like he just got all his Christmas clothes on and threw them on at the same time.
You do get excited after Christmas. Yeah. You get everything in front of you. You get all jacked up. You just throw it all on. You're just ready to go. That's that's so funny. And also in researching Ben Simmons' stats, I found another one, which I was like, is that true? I Googled it. It came up on a couple different places. So I'm going to assume this is completely true. Ben Simmons holds the record as the most fined player in NBA history.
Wow.
I guess because of the holdout and, you know, he needs to report and they're not going to. So we're going to start fining you, your game checks, et cetera, et cetera. That stacked up to he has given up. He has surrendered $17 million. From fines to the NBA.
Wow. And like and I'm all for player empowerment. And you know, I feel like players should have some say so in their career. But it's like, what other job? I think it is getting out of hand. Like, what other job can you not show up for work and then tell your like supervisor, y'all should still pay me?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It don't work like that.
It really doesn't. My hat's off for trying, and it's clear he must be fine with losing it. But when I think about Ben Simmons losing $17 million, Latrell Sprewell choked a white coach 20 years ago. Jermaine O'Neal, they cleaned house in Detroit, and none of those guys are even remotely close to Ben Simmons giving up $17 million. I mean, that's outrageous. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
No, I knew it was bad, but sheesh.
And Latrell didn't just choke a white coach. He choked a coach with a very white name, PJ Carlissimo. You know that guy's white. There's no question about that.
Right.
Crazy. 20 years ago? My God. All right. Next credential, the ear test. What did we hear in this moment? Let me play the highlight for you. This is the call from the announcers on TNT. I know Jimmy Jackson is one of them. Jimmy Jackson, Toledo, Ohio's finest. I'm from Toledo. Jimmy Jackson's our guy. Let's listen to this play together.
Simmons, they cleared out for him. Backing his way in. Spins on Gallinari. Gives it up. Oh, he was right there. And a foul as Thibault goes to the basket. Boy, Simmons, uncontested, had a layup, but he leaves it for Thibault, who makes something out of it and is headed to the line.
Well, but that's when you know that the game is in your head. That's a dunk for Ben Simmons right there. You got it, and I know you got it to Thibault. You got the free throws, but Ben Simmons, you got to shoot that shot. Be confident that if you do get fouled, that you can make the free throw with an and one. So now that two now turns into what could be a one-point possession instead of a possible three with the foul on the dunk by Simmons.
That psychological piece to it as well.
And the Sixers were down, I believe, 2 points at the time. It is a bad possession, and it's strangely made worse. You know, in a play like this where a guy passes up what you think could be a dunk, you'd think there'd be some, you know, sort of open, that it's open to interpretation. You can hear the crowd react immediately to the play, and the announcers are right, both of them, right on top of Ben Simmons with the criticism. It's uncomfortable.
Right, like literally, it felt like you could hear just everybody in the crowd just start talking to each other like, hey, did y'all just see what he just did?
You can hear everybody muttering. Right.
Man. And then like that, from that moment on, it just stole our heart for like the last few minutes.
And this is Ben Simmons on the Old Man of the Three, J.J. Redick's podcast with Tommy Alter. Here's what Ben had to say about this play after the fact.
No, in the moment, I just spun, and I'm assuming Trey's going to come over quicker. So I'm thinking he's going to come full blown, and I see Matisse going there. Matisse is athletic and get up. So I'm thinking, okay, quick pass, he's going to flush it, not knowing how much space there was. It happened so quick that you just make a read.
Your thoughts on that?
I remember watching it, and, you know, I'm also a fan of J.J.'s pod.
Yeah.
I feel like he's one of, like, the few basketball guys that are kind of like unbiased and give a good perspective. But Ben is also his guy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he let him off kind of easy on that. He let him off real easy.
The next credential is you mad. Rob, play my camera on clip here.
You mad.
Thank you so much. I love it when someone's mad about a play. It makes me enjoy a moment more. Was anybody mad about this moment? Yes. Anthony Moore was mad. Here are some tweets from Anthony Moore about Ben Simmons, including a tweet from the night of this passed up dunk. Ben, you said about Ben Simmons, these are all Anthony Moore tweets. The first one is, Ben Simmons is Joe Smith with LeBron's phone number. Do you still ascribe to that?
Yes. 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 That, like, wow. What?
You posted a clip of a dumpster floating down in a flood. It seemed to be a flood, a torrential downpour. A gushing river is pushing a dumpster down the street, and it bangs into a bridge. And you posted that clip and said, this is footage of Ben Simmons leaving Philly.
Yeah.
That was you as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You also posted March 29th, 2022. You wrote, I don't think jokes should be taken seriously, but if Ben Simmons socked me, I definitely understand.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely understand if like Ben pulled up on a comedy show at me. It'd be like in that scene in Juice where Omar Epps stepped on the elevator and then like, oh, Tupac here. Yeah, I would have that same reaction. I would definitely, like, he would definitely be justified in putting hands and feet on me.
From the night in question, Game 7, Anthony Moore tweets, Spider-Man Uncle Ben is better than Ben Simmons. Like, you have that. Which is worth noting because, as we all remember, Spider-Man, the Uncle Ben in Spider-Man definitely dies. He's shot and killed. Yeah. And you're saying that dead Uncle Ben is better than Ben Simmons. Is that true or false?
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
Do you see how it enhances a moment? A moment is better when someone is angry about it. And when you start saying, when you have the audacity to say, this basketball player is worse than this dead fictional character, I don't know. It just makes me appreciate the moment more.
Yeah, that one, man. I can't believe I'm still thinking about the Joe Smith one. That, I was really hurt. I was really hurt that day.
I get it. I totally understand. You also famously put out a video on the internet. I feel like a lot of people probably will know you from this clip, which is, I want to ask you about. Here's the clip. You posted a tweet saying your friends will make fun of you for anything. And then you posted this video. Let's listen to it together.
Yeah.
All right, y'all, I'm about to be out. I got work in the morning.
Hey, yo, this nigga got a job. Fuck out of here, company man. They still got you down there on fries, or you on the drive-thru? This nigga got to go home to iron his slacks. Go ahead before you get written up for being tardy. Hey, yo, this nigga eating solid. Fuck out of here, Herbert Boy. He don't want his food to go to his hips. He in here watching his figure. He got a Weight Watchers book to track his points. Woo.
Yo, hold up real quick, y'all. My dad calling me.
Hey, yo, this nigga got a dad. He got to get off 2K to go play catch.
They about to have a parent-teacher conference.
He wants you to wash your face and come downstairs for supper.
That's the he's the Anthony Moore is that guy. He's the guy on that video that I have to assume that you've seen. What is it like to be, you know, you're the face of a meme. You're the face of a thing online that people love.
It's crazy. Like, it's surprising sometimes. It's surprising, but also rewarding because it's like your hard work starts to get noticed, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's like you still remember where you first started mm-hmm. at. So it's like, it's still shocking that like people actually like my work because mm-hmm. I remember like the whole process or like even like when I was coming up with that idea, recording it and like editing, like piecing it together, hoping people enjoy it, hoping people get to see my vision. So it's definitely cool.
You're so.
But it also definitely does catch me off guard because I'm still from Philly, so it's like I'll have people come up to me on the street you Anthony Moore, and I'm like, why? What's up? Like, I'm like, and then they're like, yo, no, I just think you're funny, and I'm like, oh, I'm so relieved because I thought we was about to fight.
That's so lovely. I really think you are super funny, and I think it's a matter of time before you break and then are never doing podcasts like this one ever again. But I do appreciate you coming on
anytime.
Chance here. I appreciate it. The what is it about? Why is it that I'm not going to comment. I'm asking the question here. You didn't write this in the tweet, but it feels like that is that you wrote your friends will make fun of you for anything. It feels like do you think that's more of a black friend thing to do, to make jokes like that? Why is it that friends can make fun of you? Where does that come from? Where does that joke generate from? Why do friends feel so comfortable making jokes like that?
It's definitely from a place of love, but I think it's definitely from a place of love, but people legit will roast you for anything. Like, those were true experiences. Where I remember like leaving a comedy club, like this one, I was still working at a school, and like I would leave a comedy club, like I might be the first one to say, all right, I'm going home. And everybody like just started roasting me. Hey, yo, he being responsible tonight. Or like, come on, man. Like I got to be up early. It's like, oh, he got to go set his alarm. It's like, come on, man.
It's funny. Sometimes I look at a viral thing online, something that takes off, a meme, and I go, "Ah, it's funny," but I don't get it. And then sometimes, like with this one, I go, "That really does touch on something that it feels universal." That like I'm going to make fun of you, and I can do it. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I'm just going to make fun of you in this moment. It really does touch on something. It's fantastic. All right, the next credential, let's move on. The press conference, any great quotes, any great sound bites after the fact? This is the play, this passed up dunk moment, this game seven, after which Doc Rivers goes into the press room and they ask him about this game, and Doc Rivers throws Ben Simmons under the bus, which I didn't remember. Let's listen to that together.
Ben only took four shots, and then he passed up a dunk late.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you have to talk to him about, or is that just nerves, or what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously he struggled from the free throw line, and that became a factor in the series. There's no doubt about that. Still believe in him, but we have work to do. You know, we're going to have to get in the gym, put a lot of work in. And go forward.
Doc, you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that now. So I don't know the answer to that.
Andy, what are your feelings on Doc there? Do you ultimately understand him because he didn't turn out to be a franchise cornerstone, or do you think he didn't handle that properly?
My dislike for Doc is slightly less than my dislike for Ben. Got like it. They, yeah. So, with that, I now hearing it, I didn't I remember people saying Ben threw. Like, I mean, I remember people saying that, you know, Doc threw him under the bus, but I didn't remember it being that bad. That does, like, in that kind of situation, he should have just said, I do believe in him, but we got work to do.
It's rough too, because when the interviewer asks initially starts the question, he's like, Ben, you know, missed a couple shots. Like, Doc starts shaking his head and like looking down, like he's not hiding it at all. It's a sort of a rough moment. I will say I do appreciate the move from a guy who could very easily be labeled as a big game 7 choke artist in Doc Rivers as a coach. I do appreciate him pushing that off onto someone else. I appreciate the depravity that you have to have to go, listen, guys, let's not look at me and my record here. Let's look at this guy. Let's put this guy under the microscope for a second. I do appreciate that he had the gall to take another guy and go, let's take a look at this guy. Let's really examine this guy's performance here. It's the type of move that a crook really makes there in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. That 08. And I love Kobe, and I really wish the Lakers would have won that championship, because that 08 championship is giving Doc Rivers too much job security.
It
is insane. The job security, like the fact that, and that's what I don't understand. Like, this is I'm not a big football fan. But one thing I do like in football is, like, with the coaches aren't just swapped. We see coordinators grow up and become head coaches and move position. This person might have been a wide receiver coach and then become a offensive coordinator coach. Whereas, like, in the NBA, I don't know, for some reason, it's like we could watch a guy be bad at his job, lose his job, and then next week say, oh, he's the top candidate for this team.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, I don't understand it at all, man. If there's one thing Doc is going to do, he's going to deflect.
He's so good at it. He really is so good at it. I just saw a stat last night at the time of this recording. His career with the Bucks starts 1-4.
He already blew four leads. He already blew four quarter leads.
It really is crazy, and it's not just that 08 title, it's that goddamn Ubuntu thing and the let's make sure our rings touch. Do you remember that speech that he told the guys and gave, let's make sure our rings touch, like all that shit for some reason it, like, sticks to him, and people like think he's this great motivator. And listen, I love Doc as a play-by-play guy. I thought he was fantastic on the broadcast, so I think it's a real loss for NBA fans that he's not in the booth and instead out ruining Giannis's career in Milwaukee. It's fantastic. Before we move on, two other clips in the press conference. Here are two other sound bites from the Old Man and the Three podcast with JJ Redick and Ben Simmons. I'm going to play both, and then Anthony, I want your take on them. Here we go.
Okay.
Is there anything that you look back on, and it could have been the Hawks series, it could have been at any point in time in Philly. Is there anything you look back on, you were like, you know what? Wish I'd done that differently.
No, because I wouldn't be here. I don't think you could say, yeah, I wish I went up and dunked the ball. Like, that was the whole game. Like, come on. I think if I didn't go through what I've gone through the last year or and a half, then I wouldn't be where I'm at now. And I think I needed to go through all that and have those experiences to be where I'm at now.
Your thoughts on that, Anthony?
I think that's so phony. Like, I hate when people say, you know, I live every day with no regrets. No, sometimes we do regret things. And that moment, that defining moment, is going to be the reason why he's received his last max contract.
Yeah.
He's the type of player, like, he has the type of athleticism, especially the way people are getting paid now. Mm-hmm. He has the type of skill where he should have been, like, this next contract should have been the max. But it's looking like he might get a vet minimum.
Yeah.
Like, with the type of decline he made.
Fascinating. And here's the last clip. This is JJ turning the screws a bit on him.
Look, when it slows down, it looks really bad, Ben.
Yeah, no, fucking looks terrible. I was like, but when I look at it now, I'm like, man, I should have just fucking punched that shit. But it didn't happen. And I was okay with that. I can live with that.
Your thoughts?
Nah, there's no way. As a performer, as somebody, like, I mean, there's no way. Like, I still, because even for me, I had moments where I'm like, man, I wish I would have did this joke over. I have bombs from 2015 on stage, yeah. That still hurt. Yeah. So for him to say, nah, I had to go through this. This was necessary. Nah. I mean, but that also, I feel like it shows like your true love of the game. Like, yeah. I mean, like you said, we know, like, we've heard stories from like Kobe or Wade or Bron or Jordan where they talk about how a loss fueled them to work harder or get to this next level. Even like somebody like Steph. Yeah. I remember like listening to Steph talk about how coming into the league and guys like Brandon Jennings used to kill him and things like that. It's like certain things are supposed to motivate you to get to that next level. Yes. And I feel like him running away from that moment.
Yes.
So this past year, you know, the Eagles, our season just ended.
Yeah.
Like, we all got our hearts broken. But players have the attitude of, you know what, next year,
that's right,
we didn't do our job this year. Next year, we got to put the work in. And that's the type of attitude. If he would have just returned to say, you know, like, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I want to come back better, come back more aggressive or anything. The city would have embraced him, no problem.
Yes. Yeah, it's really interesting. The placement in that last soundbite, he goes, I should have punched that shit. And then he finishes like, but I didn't, and I got to live with that. And it's when you finish that way, the front part, that I should have punched it, feels performative. I don't necessarily believe anything you're saying when you finish it with, well, you know what, I got to live with that, and I'm okay with that. And it's made me who I am today. That just feels like a cop-out. That's a tough soundbite to have to listen to as a Philly fan. The next credentials are test of time. So when we compare this moment against other moments like in history, I started debating, what is this moment? What is this? Why did Anthony want to talk about this? It feels like, and you said it at the gate, and this is what I was thinking about as I was prepping. It feels like this is the announcement of a guy who's basically, is he turning into a bust? Is Ben Simmons a bust? It's kind of my burning question for this episode. Ben Simmons was a world-class defender, a three-time All-Star, Rookie of the Year, but is he going to be a bust?
Which is like, that is really crazy when you think about that.
It's nuts.
Like he started off, you see, was his first All-Star year, was that his rookie year?
Great question. Yeah. I don't know. Let me
look. But I know it's either his rookie year or second year. But to come in right off the gate, producing, to just turn into this is crazy.
Three-time NBA All-Star, 2019, 2020, and 2021, Ben Simmons.
Wow. Yeah, that is... It's crazy to have produced so much in so little time and then to like immediately go from like perennial All-Star max contract to like just a... like a bust, like...
Anthony Moore's Twitter punching bag.
But that was a draft. His draft was what? It was him, Lonzo. Yeah, him, Lonzo. And
no,
Ingram.
Him, Brandon Ingram was.
Brandon Ingram. Okay.
The one that I compare him to, because like as I think about like other famous busts, there are so many of them. Like, you know, Sam Bowie, I guess, was two, and Purvis Ellison was taken one, and Michael Olowokandi. Like, there's a long line of NBA big men that were taken first and ended up stinking. So it's hard to be like he's the biggest bust of all time because the guy was Rookie of the Year, three-time All-Star. So I start going, well, what makes – it's sort of like a fascinating collapse. And then it makes me compare it to Markelle Fultz. Which, as a Philly guy, which is the more tragic story, Ben Simmons or Markelle Fultz?
I definitely Ben, because even with Markelle, he's never booed when he comes back home because, and he even understands the frustration of Philly fans with him. But even with him, we never booed him, like or anything, because he tried, and it just wasn't a good fit. And he needed a fresh start.
fascinating. That's the acceptance of it and the understanding of it, the tipping your hat to it is a fascinating part of it. Here's the next burning questions as I move on to the next credential. Burning questions. Do you, Anthony, do you believe in basketball gods? And do you believe the Philadelphia 76ers have to pay the price for the tanking epidemic that they started?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I hated the process from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because we were doing good.
Yes.
Like, I remember the team we had before the process we started. And it was just, we could have grew our core players, but we traded them. And this was like when, like, LeBron was still on the Heat. Mm-hmm. We had Drew Holiday, who's an all-star. Mm-hmm. Now, like, I mean, we traded Drew the year he got his first all-star.
Right.
So that's what made me even mad. It's like, this is a player that's showing great promise. Iguodala, Vucevic, who went on to become like a 2010 guy. We just had all these great pieces to basically end up with kind of the team we have now almost. Mm-hmm. And it was like a good 5 or 6 years where we kept drafting players that played the same position.
Yeah.
Where we went to like Nerlens Noel, Okafor.
That's right. Embiid.
Yeah, we I've been through it. And that's why, like, I saw somebody saying, like, I saw a woman post online, like, what's up with all these young guys, like, going bald now or, like, receding? It's like, y'all don't understand what it's like to be a sports fan. Like, I used to, like, before the process, I used to have corners. It used to be full. I told myself I was going to get some braids. I might throw some dreads in this. Now, mess with, like, I'm telling you, Elton Brennan has took my last few strands away.
You're naming Elton Brennan in this class, like, action lawsuit. So you, the last burning question that I have that I want to ask you, Ben Simmons has previously stated that he had some, you know, was having mental health issues. Does that change your opinion of this moment at all?
No, and that just make me an evil person. I try to be an advocate for mental health, but Ben, what about my mental health? Like, I had to sit and endure that, knowing that it was nothing I could do. Yeah.
What about Anthony? That's what we're asking. The next credential, X factor. Everybody knows what an X factor is. Is there an X factor in this moment? Is there something else about him passing up this dunk and passing him to Matisse Thybulle? Is there something else about this moment that makes it special that might help it get into the first ballot Hall of Fame, Anthony?
What makes this special? I think. For me personally, what just makes this moment special is that I think this was just a defining moment it was the defining moment for the Sixers organization, like in the post AI era. Mm. This was like the moment that said the process isn't going to work.
Oof. Yeah. Now that I really like. This being the punctuation to the question of, does the process, does tanking work? This being the answer is fascinating. A great answer there. Something for everybody to think about. I'm going to go the opposite way and say it's beautifully tragic. It's impossibly human. It's a guy who is nervous. He's not playing well. He's missing free throws. He's feeling the pressure, and it's clearly getting to him. And it gets to him at an impossibly important moment in his career. He's on national television in front of his home crowd. He wheels on a terrible defender. He's now only facing an even worse defender who's very, very short and very slight, has no ability to stop this play. He dumps off the ball to a guy in Matisse Thybulle who's not even, you know, athletic guy, but not even a great finisher necessarily. And the Sixers end up losing the game and the series. And then Ben Simmons gets run out of town on a rail, and his career sort of starts to hit the tank in Brooklyn. And maybe this is the turning point in Ben Simmons' career. Is there a scenario where he never turns around and ever ends up making a career out of this? I think the answer could to that question could be yes. And instead of making fun of it, I'm going to say, isn't it fascinating that this guy who should be this supernatural athlete has this incredible human moment and he collapses in front of all of us? I find it sort of sweet and fascinating. I look at Ben Simmons and I go, Ben Simmons is more like me because I fuck up too. I'd lose that shit. I've totally fucked that moment up. That's like me, and that makes me like him, and that's why I'm saying that's my X factor in this, is Ben Simmons is a bit of a dipshit like I am. Yeah. Hats off to Ben Simmons. Okay, before we move on to the cosign, it's time for More Important. It's America's favorite podcast segment. Everyone loves More Important. They can't stop talking about it. More Important, it's a series of questions I'm about to ask you, Anthony. Your answer to these questions will define who you are as a man on this planet. All of your answers to these questions will be more important than any of the bullshit we've been talking about up until this point. Are you ready for More Important?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Anthony, it's 2 a.m. You're in Brooklyn again. It's 2 in the morning. You have $2.50 in your pocket. You're at a bodega. What are you getting? $2.50.
Oh, I know what I'm gonna get. I'm gonna get a bag of salt and pepper chips.
Great answer.
I'm gonna get some salt and pepper kettle corn chips. I'll probably get like a small apple juice.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Like what? Like the Martinelli's, the little round Martinelli's thing?
Yeah. No. Cheap. The Tropicana. Yeah, the cheap. Yeah, I'm going cheap. Yeah. I'm gonna spread it. That. I'm gonna try to make that $2.50 spread.
That's a great answer. I'm willing to accept that. I also would have accepted two of the full-size honey buns. That's also fine, too. I think you'd have to be a big, giant, fat guy to have that be your answer, but it's certainly acceptable. Anthony, name a celebrity you're certain you could beat up in a fight.
I'm going Peter Dinklage. okay. I'm going him. Right. And not even just off of size, just age also. I think I might be a little bit more mobile than him. He's closer to the ground, so he might be able to take me down.
Low center of gravity. You're right. Yeah. I know. I get it. And listen, for anyone that's immediately, instantly very angry at Anthony for saying that, which I would understand if you were angry at him, he is just answering the question. And I put the question to him. You have to be certain you're going to beat this guy up. Peter Dinklage is his answer. And I would vote on Anthony's side. I believe you would beat up Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, because it's not from, like, we're not ableist. Like, if anything, I feel like it would be wrong for me to not include him. I think these hands are for anybody. Yeah.
Right. Perfect. I couldn't agree with you more. Perfect. Absolutely. Yeah. Anthony Moore, who is on your stand-up comedian Mount Rushmore?
I'm going Chris Rock and Chappelle.
Okay.
Those two are, like...
locked.
Yeah, like, three... I'm going to go my mentor, actually. My mentor is a comedian named Touré Gordon from Philly.
I love that.
Touré, like, he's helped shape so many Philly careers.
I love that.
Like, even, like, some of your favorites. Like, he helped Kevin Hart on his way up. Mm. So Touré. And then, four on my Mount Rushmore, I'm gonna give it to a region. I'm going to shout out the South.
I love it.
I love Southern comedians. It's so many. And the thing I love about Southern comedians, like people in Atlanta, Mississippi, I love their silliness.
Whereas
I see a lot of New York comedians, like working comedy clubs. You taught that you got to follow structure. Mm-hmm. You got to have like a certain pacing for your jokes. Whereas like, down south, they might be performing in a lot of spots that really aren't the most orthodox or set up for comedy. Like, they're performing in spots that aren't comedy conducive. Mm-hmm. It might be just a bar. It might be a lot of music or DJs and stuff going on. And they learn how to play off that so well and just have this natural silliness about it. Yes. There's so many funny down south comedians that I love.
Great answer. Anthony, what is the best sports nickname?
The best sports nickname.
Is there a nickname in sports that you love?
Probably the Truth.
Yeah, it's really good.
The Truth, that's a cool one.
It kills me. It kills me that that nickname belongs to a Celtic. Kills me.
Yeah. I wish KD would have really embraced the Slim Reaper.
Oh my God. It might be one of this country's great tragedies that he didn't accept that with open arms.
Right, yeah. I love that one. So yeah, I think I'm gonna go with those for my two. Those are the ones that come off in.
The Slim Reaper is so fucking good. I don't know who came up with that, but it is a true travesty that he didn't accept that. That really gets me right in the gut. All right, here we got to keep moving. Best finishing move. Do you watch professional wrestling?
I haven't in a while. Do you have
a favorite finishing move from your childhood?
Oh, my favorite finisher. I'm going to go. I'm got to go with a stunner. Got to go with the stunner.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
As good as it gets. The Stone Cold Stunner. Let's hear it once more from Stone Cold ET.
Oh, hell yeah.
That is Stone Cold ET that we sent to Genuine's Pony there. Yeah. Sorry about that. Do you have do you have a best team branding? So we're talking about, when I ask that, I go, this, we're talking about name of the team, we're talking about colors, we're talking about uniforms, the way they look. Do you have a full package, the logo? What's the best team branding in all of sports? You can pick any team from any sport. Best team branding. All encompassing. Home jerseys, away jerseys, alt jerseys, no. Helmets, baseball caps.
Okay. You know what? Well, like, for a team, I will say the old Sixers jerseys, like around that 01 era, where it had like the star on the end with the ball shooting out of it.
Yep.
That
cold.
Yeah. Those are like my personal favorite being from Philly. But I will say as a alternative to that question, the NBA really does need to bring back like that 95, 96 alternate jerseys where they used to have like the animal on a jersey, like where they had an actual buck on the jersey, the big hawk.
The Vancouver Grizzlies
had the bear, the Raptors. Those jerseys, era of jerseys was the coldest.
Those are really good. None of those are the right answer. The right answer, the Miami Dolphins. Those old Miami Dolphins throwbacks. Sorry, you didn't get that, but I understand it. Last question to you, Anthony Moore. Name something that really kicks ass. Think of all the things in the world. It could be anything in the world, but it has to kick a bunch of ass. Okay, let's hear it.
I already know. Canada Dry Cranberry Ginger Ale. Let's go. Whoever added the berries, whoever was drinking the ginger ale and said, you know what? We need to add some fruit to this. That cranberry ginger ale goes crazy.
That's the type of specificity. That is exactly the type of specificity I'm looking for in an answer like that.
And this is not an ad. I just love it that much. Right. Sometimes this is me just wanting to put y'all onto something good.
And listen, trust me, we're not getting a goddamn red cent from the Canada Dry people. You can be sure of that. Fantastic job on More Important, Anthony. It's time for the cosign. The floor is yours. The microphone is yours. Does Ben Simmons's passing up of this dunk, does it belong in the first ballot Hall of Fame, and why? Your closing argument.
This belongs in the first ballot Hall of Fame because, for one, it's a defining moment for a career. Mm-hmm. This is this for fans, you know, and it hurts. It definitely does hurt. Like it hurts as a fan of like this being my team.
Yeah.
But you know, some moments are famous, some moments are infamous, and this is definitely on that side. This defined the career or organization, a whole city. So yeah, I think this belongs in the first ballot Hall of Fame because if we do forget this, this will be repeated.
Yeah.
That's never forget. Is it fair to say this is my 9/11? Wow.
What a great cosign. Listen, I want to be clear. I don't support anything that Anthony Moore has said this entire episode. No, he's the funniest. Oh, my God. I mean, if you didn't follow Anthony Moore before this episode, you certainly have to now. He's so goddamn funny. I can't wait to watch you become hugely popular and successful. And I can be like, this fucking guy went on my stupid little fucking podcast. I can't believe it. What an idiot. Yeah. Thank you again for doing it. It's time for the induction speech. That's when I, Neil, get to decide where this thing goes in. Listen, I'm going to take everything Anthony just said into account. And again, what he closed with was that this is his 9/11. I'm going to I'm taking that into account when making my decision. It's a lot to consider. I really love the argument you've made. It's very clear to me how much this matters to you as a singular, as an individual person. I know that you're mad. You compared Ben Simmons to a dumpster floating in a flooded river. You said that Uncle Ben, the dead Uncle Ben, is better than Ben Simmons. You compared it to 9/11. You asked all of us to never forget because you want to save other teams' fans. You're looking out for other people. You're being a man of the people, and I appreciate that. Ultimately, because of the mental health issues, because we're not far enough away, this is the truth. If we go another 10 years without the Philadelphia 76ers making a finals or winning an NBA championship, and Ben Simmons never ends up turning his career around, I think it's a no-brainer. But if Ben Simmons gets healthy and comes back, and this is just a blip on the radar of his career, I can't put it in. I need to punt. I need to hold. I need to pause on this moment just for a second on its induction. And I want to say, let's revisit this when, in a few years. If Philly's still not a world champion, and if Ben Simmons' career never turns around, we will come back on and put this moment in the first ballot Hall of Fame. But for now, we're going to leave it out. Out of respect to Ben Simmons and what he's going through, that's my final ruling. Your thoughts, Anthony?
I think I might just be a terrible person. I think I might just be a terrible person. For me, all mental health awareness goes out the door when it comes to sports. I'm so selfish, but it really is. Sports is really terrible when you think about it. Like how much I enjoy it. And then when I had to really sit back and realize, I'm like, damn, the fate of this city rests on the shoulders of this 22-year-old. Yeah,
I know. You're right. I mean, we just, as we're taping this, the Lakers just stood pat at the trade deadline. And I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? And right, I'm texting all these people. And I'm like, I've got 6, 7, 8 text threads going at one time, texting all these people going, what the hell is this team doing? And then I have to take a moment because I'm getting ready to record with Anthony. I have to take a moment and be like, I'm an adult. I have a job to do. I have to record this episode. Yeah. I cannot let this thing affect me for so long. And yet and still, I do it. It was a really ripe moment there, a very juicy moment, because I thought there's a chance Anthony's going to lay into me and be like, you're wrong and you fucked this up. And you went introspective and you realized that you did try to double down. You compared it to 9/11. You said, never forget. And you looked inside. And I think that says a lot about you. I think it says a lot about you. You maybe you're a terrible person, but I think you're turning a corner, Anthony, and I appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much. How can people follow you? What can you plug? What are you working on?
You can follow me on all social media platforms at All That and More. That's More with 2 O's. And you can also check out my podcast, We Want More. And on there, we talk about random topics, current events, and at the end of every episode, we review a different movie on Tubi. So so if you're looking for a good Tubi movie to watch, man, check us out. And you love it. We play clips of the movie on there, and some of the movies are actually good, but a lot is terrible, and we all break that down for you. If you want to hear more, check us out.
He's so funny. Support this guy. He's terribly funny. Anthony Moore, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
That's it. That's the show. My thanks to Mr. Anthony Moore. You don't need me to tell you how funny that guy is. You just heard it. Support that man, All That and More on all social platforms, and the We Want More, MOORE podcast. Thank you again, sir. Very, very funny. Credits, Robbie Bobby, Jessica, EJ, Rhythm J, and DA. That's the team. My thanks to them and to the entire squad over at the Ball's Life Podcast Network. Appreciate the Ball's Life fam. Follow them at Ball is Life on all social platforms. Thanks to you for listening, And please come back next week for more First Ballot. Robbie, play the moment where he says Wembanyama is built like a churro so people can hear how funny it is the way he says churro. Okay, thanks. Bye.
And he's built like a churro.